All right, the grand finale. You guys ready? This is a lot of fun. Aviv, when I was preparing shiur, I decided I have to have an appropriate chakira for you. So hopefully I'll fulfill my chakira requirement and quench your thirst for Torah, or at least spur it on further. So today I want to talk about a topic, really give multiple shiurim, which literally don't have time, and talk about the first night of Sukkot. Until now we talked about Teshuvah Kein Tadiru and the mitzvahs that apply to all the days of Sukkot, right? We talked about in general what the nature of the mitzvah is, we talked about sleeping, we talked about eating, all of that, but all of that in the end of the day, at least when it comes to eating for sure, really we know it's not 100% clear that it is mandatory every single day. We generally assume, we'll see Sukkot Stanaim in a moment, we usually assume that, of course, it's with the exception of maybe Sedes Yontif or something like that, generally speaking, you only really have to be in the sukkah eating if you eat in certain kinds of foods under certain circumstances that we talked about yesterday in terms of achilas keva versus achilas arai. But the truth is that there might be unique status to the first night specifically. I'm going to talk about that. And basically what I'm going to do is as follows. First, I'm going to start with the mission on the Gemara that framed the issue. And then we're going to pose a question and give three basic categories of nafkaminos. And then in consistent style with my chidushin throughout, I'll tell you my own take on the sugya. And hopefully it'll tie together some of the other things that you're hearing out for whichever shurim. But it should tie together nicely some of the different things that we've seen. And I think really bring home our learning. So here we go. Are you ready? So the Mishnah on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph teaches as follows. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Arba Esrei Se'udot Chayav Adam Le'echol B'Sukkah Chas Bayom V'Achas B'Alayla. So Rabbi Eliezer paskens that a person is obligated to eat 14, no less than 14 meals in the Sukkah every day and every night. V'Chom Omrim Ein L'Davar Kitzvah. There's no set amount. Chutz Milele Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Bilvad. So the first machlokas between the Rabbanan and the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer is the question of how many seudos. Rabbi Eliezer says there's nothing necessarily unique about the first night because they're all special. All the nights and all the days have a chiyuv seuda, and the Rabbanan disagree. And that's the first machlokas. This is the second machlokas that's very interesting. We're gonna not really focus our attention on it. But Odom Rabbi Eliezer, Mishal Achal Eli Yom Tov Harishon. If you didn't start with the first night, Yashlim. If you didn't eat then, Yashlim Lili Yom Tov Ha'achron Shalchak. Then you're Mashlim the last night of Yontif. Pashas and Mishnah means that you can do Tashlumin for a missed Seuda on Shmini Atzeres. Some Rishonim hold that it actually means not Shmini Atzeres because that's after Sukkot in terms of Mitzvah of Sukkah. So they say it actually means toward the evening on the last day of Sukkot, but whatever it is. By the way, the language of Rabbi Lazar might imply, we're not going to discuss this too much either, that even he may fundamentally agree that there's something unique about the first Seuda, because after all he says, if you miss the Seuda on Leila Yom Tov Rishon, you can make that up. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Eliezer, there's a chi of 14. Every single one is important. So what do you mean? Oh, if you miss the first one, you make that one up. So does he mean any of them, or does he mean specifically the first one? Even Rabbi Eliezer somehow holds that the first one has some unique status. Again, we're going to leave that aside for our purposes. Either way, this last halacha, the Chum also disagree with. Chum Orim, Im L'Davar Tashlim. He says, you can't make this up. It's very similar to some of the sugyos and brachos. With regard to Tashlum Tvila, Yalzenemar Muvali, Chaliskon Vichisaron, Chalimanot, the Pasuk in Kohelet. So the Gemara wants to know, what is the Sod HaMachlokes? What is the basis for the disagreement between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chacham? So it's like this. My time with Rabbi Eliezer, what's the Pshat Rabbi Eliezer who says you have to eat 14 Seudos in the Sukkah over the course of the holiday? Teshvu Kein Taduru. He says you have to live, as we've seen, in the same way. You have to dwell in the Sukkah the same way we live in the home. Madirachas. Right, you have to do the same thing. V'rabbanan, right? And the Rabbanan, they turn it on its head. The same logic to the opposite effect, right? The other conclusion. Rabbanan kedira. No, it's just like a home in the sense that you can do whatever you want. Madira ibayachil ibayilo achil afsukanami ibayachil ibayilo achil. In other words, you can do whatever you want. If you're home and you're not hungry. Right, you had the Rabbi Friedman barbecue, right, and you had a good amount, and so you're good to go. You're good to go for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days, whatever. Right, you're stuffed, so you're not gonna eat the next meal. That's up to you. That's your prerogative. So same thing with regards to sukkah, you can do what you want. So now the Gemara says, wait a second. If the Yesod HaMachlokes and your Lezna Chachamim is just Teshu Kein Tadiru, is that a mechayev or is that a poter? Does that create a higher obligation, or actually does it get you off the hook? I understand. Rabbi Eliezer says you have to eat 14 seudos, but if it's really up to you to eat or not to eat, So then even the first night, the Chora should be up to you as well, right? So Mechavein Aviv to none less than the Gemara. Okay, very good. So the Gemara says, Yihachi, afilu li'le yom tov harishonani. Right? Okay, if it's up to you, it's up to you, even the first night. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rabbi Yochum, Shimon, Shimon, Yod Tzadok, what is the basis for the Shita of the Chachamim that there is nonetheless an obligation on the first night? It's the Gzeira Shava that we've heard. It's the classic Gzeira Shava between the first night of Sukkot and the first night of Pesach. Ne'emar kan Chamisha Asar, Ne'emar Chamisha Asar b'chag ha-matzos. It uses the same Tesva. Right, with regard to Pesach and with regard to Sukkot, Mala Halonai Laharishon Chova, just like we say that with regard to the mitzvah of matzah, Bo Erev Tochu Matzos is an obligation Minatorti Matzah the first time we come Veilach Rishus, but after that is only a Rishus Avkan here too. Lai Laharishon Chova Mikan Veilach Rishus VaHasa Minolan. How do we know by matzah itself there's an obligation to eat on the first night? Amar Kro Pasuk and Parshas Bo Erev Tochu Matzos Hakasuv Kivao. Torah itself, the Pasuk, established it as an obligation on the first night. Okay, so that's this classic Zero Shava, Tesvav, Tesvav. And so basically for our purposes, simply speaking, we have a Chokas or Lezer says there's nothing unique, or maybe there's something unique, but basically there's an obligation to eat the Suda all the days and nights of Yontif. So let's assume for the moment, for the purposes of our discussion, we'll set Rabbi Lezer aside and we'll say, okay, he holds that it's an obligation all the time. The Chacham are the ones who say that no, there's a unique status to the first night specifically. There's a Chova just like Masag, Zero Shava, Tesvav, Tesvav, as opposed to the rest of the nights and days of Yontif, when there's no obligation to eat in the sukkah. What's already the problem with this? What's a little strange about this presentation? The Chacham of Shita. Okay, first of all, it says Pasukot Yeshu Shabbat Yamim. Very good. What? Okay, so the question about Yom Tov Sheni, what would you say in Chutz
La'aretz? No.
Oh, sorry. The last day. Meaning what?
Suda,
this is an independent obligation to Suda Yontif. And once there's an obligation to Suda Yontif, what do you presumably have to eat? Pass, right? Presumably pass. We're going to eat pass in the sukkah. So it's just not true. Or in the Chacham will agree they have to. And some people think that you should even, or even strictly obligated possibly even on Chol Moed. In which case, every day there's an obligation to eat pass, right? That would even, right? I even love obligation. So it's just not really true. A little bit funny. So we have to come back to that and figure that out. By the way, with regard to matzah, just to pull through the comparison, what's the status of achilas matzah the other days? Is there an obligation to eat matzah all 6 days? Well, you have a similar problem there, right? Because you have the same suos yontif issue. Good. But leave that aside for a moment. What about the rest of them? Is there an obligation to eat matzah? No. All right, that's clear. Let's say I choose to eat matzah. Is that just like eating?
No,
anything all year round?
Kiyum mitzvah.
That's a Kiyum mitzvah. The famous Shita of, right? Of, it's often quoted in the name of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says there's no chiyuv to eat matzah the whole time, but there's a Kiyum mitzvah midoraisa. It's a classic Shita of the Gra. But the truth is, many hold of it. The Chizkuni, in his commentary on Torah already says it's a sorti among the Rishonim, and I think it's like Pashup Shah. I think it's like Mochra. Because that's what, right, basically the idea. And it fits nicely, with the larger, idea that we said that, right, with regard to, were you here this year? I don't know if you were here this year. We talked about the idea that that it's not just a Maisa HaMitzvah, but that the idea is that the mitzvah is meant to completely transform the holiday altogether.
Exactly.
Right? Fine. So we said that's true by any time that there's Chag HaMatzos. So if it calls the holiday by the Maisa HaMitzvah, right, or Yom Trua, or Hashanah, that the idea is that it's not just a Maisa HaMitzvah, but I was suggesting that the Maisa HaMitzvah is meant to characterize and transform the way that we experience the entire Yontif. It's like it becomes not just a holiday on which there's an obligation in the Torah to eat matzah, but like it transforms the entire Yontif. And Sukkot has suggested that as well. I'm going to come back to that a little bit later today, God willing, in the last section. And same thing about Shofar, so perhaps here as well, the idea is Chag HaMatzos, how do you make it into a Yontif of Matzos? So you do two things. Number one, there's a Chiv on the first night. And number two, the more that I eat, not just, well, I was technically Mekayim HaMitzah, no. The more that I deepen this notion of the connection between the Yontif and Matzos, whatever the reason is, Matzah is apparently so essential to the symbolism that it is the name of this Yom Tov. And so perhaps that's the idea. I'm going to suggest that maybe that's relevant by Sukkot too. Yeah.
A quick question about this is, a reshut, does that always denote a mitzvah kiyumit?
Great question. Not necessarily. A reshus just literally means something that is optional. So that could mean sometimes it could be value neutral. And as Rav Lichtenstein always would emphasize, very often it means something that's a really good thing to do. So you give the, but it's not obligatory. So you always give the classic example that tilas arvus reshus.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you hold tilas arvus reshus, so is it A, religiously neutral, or B, not obligatory, but a really good thing to daven arav? What would you say? Okay, you don't have to daven ma'ariv. So therefore, Chazal didn't care if you daven ma'ariv, or they said, you don't have to daven ma'ariv, but if you can, it's you're getting a mitzvah. It's a good thing to do. Right? Clearly, right, which of those two? Presumably, it's a good thing to do. It's just the Chazal didn't technically make it a requirement. So, you know, sometimes you have that kind of reshus. That's what I think of it as referring to, even if that's not always the case. Okay. So now, this led to a major discussion Rishonim from a particular angle. So the Rishonim get into one of the key questions that's going to be the first sort of nafgamina and proof text as to the nature of the mitzvah of achila on Lo Tesa. But before we come to the Rishonim, I want to just formulate the question very clearly. So here's the chakira that I'd like to discuss a little bit today. Okay, according to the Chacham, it's a unique mitzvah to eat on the first night. We also know that anyone who chooses to eat in the sukkah throughout the yontif is avreit. That becomes, if you eat certain things, then you're obligated to eat that in the sukkah. So clearly, in certain circumstances, there's a chiyuv min haTorah, basukot tishvu shvat yamim, to operate in certain ways in the sukkah. There's a chiyuv d'oraisa, no question, of sukkah kol shiva. So here's the question. Do we understand, right, or what is the relationship between these two obligations? Right? Anytime we have a pre-existing obligation and we have a new obligation, we have to inquire as to the relationship between the two. It's a basic methodological question that we want to pose. And you see this in all sorts of areas of halacha. Mitzvos midrabanan, for example, that connect to mitzvos midoraisa. Right? Are they new mitzvos or are they extensions of the category min haTorah? One of my rabbeim Yisrov Tabori, from the Rambam and Gush, used to say, how do you understand the mitzvah, it's an unusual application of this principle, how do you understand the mitzvah of lighting Ner Chanukah? Is it an independent mitzvah, or is it a rabbinic extension of the mitzvah, believe it or not, of lighting the menorah in the mikdash? Right? That's how we used to say. So I think that it's just one small example of this larger question. So anytime you have a basic category and you have a new category, we have to ask what's the relationship between the two. And here as well, how do we understand the nature of this chiyuv of eating, erev, right? Just like Barav Teochel Matzos, Tesvav, Tesvav, that we learn they have to do the same thing with regard to the first night of Sukkot. Is it that, no, it's a gzera shava, and it's a separate halacha altogether? Right, it's a new din. There are two dinim on Sukkot. Din number one, basukot yishuv shivat yamin ko zech mitzvah yishuv basukot. And din number two, based on the gzeirah shavah, tesvav, tesvav, there's a separate halacha to eat in the sukkah on the first night of Sukkot. Maybe that's the pshat. You can go even further than that. You may even say it's a mitzvah to eat. And just, it's going to be in the sukkah. But even leaving that aside, it's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah on the first night, or no? No, no, no. This is, come on, it's quite the coincidence. Are you really going to tell me with this straight face, Satan? There are two mitzvahs that have nothing to do with each other. One mitzvah is sitting in the sukkah for 7 days. There's another mitzvah of specifically eating a seudah on the first night in the sukkah. And you're really going to look at me, and you're really going to say, Rabbi Finansky, they're two completely unrelated halachos. They really have nothing to do with each other. It's just a halachic coincidence that I both happen to be on the yontif of sukkahs while you're eating inside the sukkah, but like other than that, they have nothing to do with each other at all. It's a little bit much to swallow, right? No pun intended. What?
It says seemingly yes from the Rabbana. They'll say yeah.
Maybe the Rabbana would say yes, and maybe they would say, obviously, it's all in the sukkah, but the point is, it's learned from a sefer halacha, a gzeir shava, tesvav, tesvav. So that's going to be the basic question that I want to look at. Are they one din, or are they two? And I want to look at three nafkaminos. And the first nafkamino that I want to look at is the question of, essentially, is there any circumstance, or put it this way, do the kulos of sukkah apply to the mitzvah of the first night? So, for example, we learned about the halacha of mitzaya. Mitzaya is patur min sukkah. If it's raining, you don't have to eat in the sukkah. Right? Why? We said teshuva kein tadur. So this is a very fundamental question. Does the exemption of teshuva kein tadur apply to the mitzvah of eating in the sukkah on the first night according to the chacham? If it's pouring rain, do you have to drag your family out in the rain? Do you have to wait all night until it stops raining? Or do you just say, no, it's raining, I'm patur? Basic fundamental question, what's the halacha? So, I'm not going to read through everything inside, but this is a very, very basic machlokas among the Rishonim, very fundamental. Okay? So this is one of the most important machlokes about the first night, and very practical. It comes up all the time. You ever hear the rabbi get up in shul on the first night of Sukkot and say, the forecast is calling for rain. Here are the guidelines for the first night of Sukkot. And usually what they'll say is something to the effect that you should wait an hour or two, and you should wait. You shouldn't like rush into your meal. But at a certain point, if it's clear it's not clearing up, then just go ahead and eat inside. Maybe you should say Kiddush and a little bit of hamotzi inside the sukkah. Maybe say leishev in the sukkah, and then you go back inside. Right, that's usually what's recommended. We're going to see that comes from the Mishnah Berurah. That's the kind of the accepted halacha, but it's not clear in the Gemara, and it's going to be a fundamental machlokas rishon. The way that the Rishonim get into this, and starting in source number 2, is in the following way. They come to a different Gemara mostly. That's really what motivates them. The Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos, the 7th parak of Brachot, is about Birchat Hamazon. And one of the laws about Berachat Hamazon is, of course, that there are certain things we add. Special for Shabbos, we had Ritzeh. Special for Yom Tovim and Rosh Chodesh, we had Yalav Yavo. So here's the question. If you forget Yalav Yavo in Berachat Hamazon, do you have to repeat your benching or not? And the Gemara says, well, it depends on whether that Seuda is obligatory. If the Seuda is obligatory, then you have to repeat Berachat Hamazon. If the Seuda is not obligatory, then you do not have to repeat Berachat Hamazon. That's the basic rule of thumb in the Gemara Daf Mem Tes and Beis and Brachos. So Tosfos already on the spot starts asking, well, it's not so simple, because Rosh Chodesh, really, you're not allowed to fast. So don't tell me Rosh Chodesh is a day, because the Gemara seemed to say, the Gemara had said that Rosh Chodesh, you do not have to repeat benching. Wait a second, this says Rosh Chodesh, really, you can fast. So it is an obligatory seudah in Ifan. So that's sort of where Tosa starts getting these questions. And then if you take a look at side 2, Tosa on the spot, and then Tenambet asks the following question, and say, Vitema! Right? First full paragraph there. Vitema, he says, I don't understand, it's bewildering. Makes no sense. Da'amina besuka, it says in the Gemara, the second besuka, Iba yachil, viba ilo achil, chutz milayla harishona. How do we paskin in a machlok tin chacham and Rabbi Eliezer? Presumably, all things being equal, yachil berabim. Halacha kiravim, presumably follow the chachamim. This is right. So everyone passes the chachamim. So you can choose every other night, right? Except with for the first night, yoav tesvav tesvav mihagamato. So how can you tell me that Sukkot, if you omit yalav yavo in your berachat hamazon, do you have to repeat benching? After all, it's only true you have to have a sukkah on the first night, not on the rest of yontif. Right, that's the question. So he answers now. Shlomer dachi peirusha. She'enu tzarech lechol besukkah im lo yirtzah, aval b'shvil yom tov tzarech lechol. He says, yeah, midin sukkah you don't have to eat, but midin yom tov you do have to eat. So in other words, Tosa already saying two dinim. Tosa is saying there could be two bases for the obligation to eat in sukkah. It's not exactly like Hakir they raised before. But he's saying either there's a unique mitzvah of sukkah, or there's an obligation to eat a seuda. Now, it happens to be that if you're eating a seuda on Sukkot, you have no choice but to eat that in the sukkah. But it's not that sukkah is the obligation. But still, in practice, you have to eat the seudah. So the chachamim are saying things like this. So saying, don't think the chachamim are saying you really don't have to eat a seudah all the meals. Of course you have to eat a seudah all the meals. But it's not a din of sukkah. It's not a din of, that's learned from tesvav, tesvav. That's a separate obligation. There's a chiyuv, midin simchas yontif, or midin seudas yontif, that requires you to eat in the sukkah. And because of that halacha, you have to repeat the benching. Which is, right? So that's like a new appreciation of the Chumash saying.
It is.
Right? It's kind of it's a big machlokes Rishonim as well. So that's going to be one piece of our discussion. That's the first thing he says. So he says, okay, but who cares? V'im Tomar, right? Saint Tosa says, wait a second. He says, Mein afkamina im tzarech lechol b'shul yomtov b'shul sukkot. He says, what's the practical difference if the basis for the chiyuv is even din sukkot or the suda yomtov in general? What l'mein afkamina? Who cares? So he answers. He comes to our issue. He says, Mi omer rein Yehuda din afkamina kagon shiyardu gishamim. When it rains, the achlu chutz la'sukkah. Says, let's say it rains and you eat outside the sukkah, the hashta. Im lechvod yom tov shapir, there's no problem. Avam bishvil sukkah, in other words, if it's the first night of sukkah, it's according to the chachamim, it's be yom tov rishon, it's not enough. Tzarech lachzor v'lechol basukkah le'achar sheyifsukah ageshamim. You have to go back out and eat again. You did not fulfill your obligation. D'alfinon tesvav tesvav michag hamatzos, v'al b'shar yamim minot tzarech. Says Tosfos, that's the nafkamina. If it's raining on the first night, normally if it's raining on sukkahs, do you have to go back out into your sukkah?
No.
Says Tosas, what do? You eat one suda inside your home, midin what? Simchas Yom Tov. And then you have to go back out into your sukkah. When it stops raining, midin tesvav tesvav. So Tosfos is saying, you don't have to, according to Tosfos, you don't actually have to eat inside your sukkah while it's raining. That far he doesn't go. But he says, you can't get out of it just because it was raining. Right? What's the basis for the exemption, Jonas? So before, right? Teishu came to do it. It's been sour. So that doesn't work fully. It allows you to go inside and eat, but you have to go back out and eat again.
When it stops?
Or? Presumably, yeah, when it stops raining. Otherwise, he says, is this supposed to be? Right. That's how Tosfos answers this question. Okay.
Interesting.
The Rosh seems to go even further than Tosfos. The Rosh in Brachos says that V'davka milayla rishona ve'ilach rishos ava b'layla rishona b'chol inyan chova v'afilu yordim gishamim chayev lechol kezayis basuko di'alfin yonei chag hamatos. Pashto says that the Rosh goes even further and says that what? Even while it is actually raining. And it's too long to go into now, but the Ran, take a look, the Ran in Sukkah, on Daf Yud Beis Amiz B'Dapi Arif, in Source 4, says the same thing in Paskins, that if it's raining, not only do you have to go back outside and eat again, says the Ran, but like the Rosh, the Ran in Paskins, you have to actually eat while it's raining inside the Sukkah, right? It's not 100% explicit in the Rosh, that's what he seems to say, and the Ran, it's quite explicit. This is, just to talk it out, so we don't have so much time, but just to talk this out a little bit, this is a pretty shocking opinion. It's raining in your Sukkah. It's one thing to say, okay, you have to go back out. It's raining in your Sukkah, and you're going to eat in your Sukkah? Let me ask you a question. Do you say Elishiv by Sukkah?
Well, why would it? Yeah.
Why not?
Teishu came to
do it. Is it, let's say, every other day or night of Sukkot, and I go out into my Sukkah, and I say, you know what, even though it's raining, I love the mitzvah of Sukkah, I'm going to sit in the Sukkah, I'm going to eat my meal there, I'm going to say my leishiv the Sukkah, I'm not obligated, but let me get a kiyum ha-mitzvah. What's the halacha? You know what the halacha is? Bracha levatala. Asr. It's asr to say that bracha. Right, Yushalmi says, and this is accepted Rishonim, right, if you say it's nikra, the Gemara says about such a thing we say, that it's nikra hedyo. This is foolish. Some Achronim say, because you're potter and there's no kiyum ha-mitzvah. Other Rishonim say, there's not even a chaloshim sukkah if it's not protective. Yeah. If it's rain, scathed in rain, and maybe it's not even a sukkah. That's really extreme. Right? Either way, it's clear that there's no kiyum ha-mitzvah and that this is a stupid and counterproductive thing to do. Right? Certainly counterproductive if you're going to say the bracha. Despite that halacha of Yerushalmi, and there's no reason to think that the Rosh and the Ran disagree with that, we're saying, still go inside. Maybe you don't say Elei Sheva Sukkah, but you have to eat in your Sukkah. Unbelievable. Right? That's a shocking opinion. And some of the Rishonim disagreed very firmly with this. The Beis Yosef, I said yesterday, that's very important to learn the Beis Yosef, right, which is the commentary of Rav Yosef Karo, himself, author of the Shulchan Aruch, on the tour. So he kind of gives you his own development of halacha. I mean, it really frames the Shulchan Aruch. He quotes the Ran here in Tafri Yishlam Etes, in Arachayim, Varan Kasav, etc. I cut off the quote because I gave it to you in the previous source. I come to Shono. He says the Beis Yosef, v'zeh shiloki devei harashba. The Rashba disagrees. Shkasa B'tshuva, who wrote, Dinir Alei, She'ein ha-mitztayer, V'asher yodu av yishaman shetisrach ha-mikba chayiv lecho ba-sukkah, afilu ba-layla ha-rishon, if it's raining and it's miserable and you're stuck on the first slice, don't go out, that's ridiculous. D'teishvu kein taduru amrinan. Says the Rashba, Teishu kein taduru reply is there. L'olam ha-chivator lecho ba-sukkah, el-kedek sh'ol adam osa b'veso. If you can, you can. If you can't, you can't. He says, this is ridiculous. Right? He says, this is a huge chiddush. I don't accept this. And then the Beis Yosef goes on. He quotes a shita of the Kolbo, which one of the Ashkenazic Rishonim, quotes the Ravid, great Rishonim, earlier Rishonim, who seems to also hold in this way as well. It's absurd. Pashas, in their opinion, is that you don't have to go out later. But even if they think like Tosfos, you have to go out later, they say it's certainly absurd to go out at that time. So we have a two or three-way machlokas from Rishonim. Right, the Rashba and the Ravid say, this is absurd, Teishu kein taduru, of course you don't have to go out. Tosfos maybe has a sort of a middle position, he says, certainly not have to go out at that time, but maybe there's a second obligation of tesvav, so you have to go back out later. And the third chita seems to be the opinion of the Rosh, and certainly the position of the Ran, which is to say, no, you have to go out, and you should go out into the rain. You should go out into the rain, unbelievable. right? So what's going on over here? By the way, there's a big discussion, like, how do we paskin, and, right, etc. Right? But in Lundus, how do we understand this basic debate? So I think that the Pashtus says, and I gave you the Arach HaShulchan, and source 8 says this explicitly, he says, well, apparently the Machlokes is exactly this question. Does the Ptur of Teshu Ke'in Toduru apply to the mitzvah of Achila V'sukah Balayla Harishon? Right, that's a fundamental machlokas harishonim, says the Arach HaShulchan. What's going on? So he says essentially exactly this point, which is our first suggestion, which is that the first nafkamina or chakira as to whether this is an independent obligation or is a function of the basic obligation on Sukkot might be exactly this. Meaning, if I hold that this is an independent mitzvah, so you know what? A separate halacha, teshu kein tadur, maybe does not apply. It's a separate din. Zera shava, go out into the sukkah. It's raining. So, right? Maybe if there's no halo, maybe you can't say according to the opinion that there's a haloshim. There's no haloshim sukkah. In other words, the other way to say this, not what we're saying now, is to say that maybe the machlokas really is about whether there's really a shim sukkah at all in such a scenario. Though even then, that might be dependent on how do you understand the nature of the obligations, independent or not. What we're suggesting now, what the Arach HaShulchan suggests, is that maybe one way, a very compelling way of reading this machlokas, is that it actually depends on the nature of the obligation. According to the Rosh and the Ran, they say this is a separate halacha altogether, it doesn't apply. Right? The Arach HaShulchan points out that where does it use Hamisha Asar? Hamisha Asar is used earlier in the parsha. It's not the same place where it says Kol HaEzrach B'Yisrael Yeshu Pasuk. He says it's a separate halacha. Learn from a separate pasuk. It's not the same din. Sukkot, remember, is also presented twice in the parsha. Hamisha Asar, right? It's not the same halacha. It's a different din, he says. Right? Whereas, according to the Rashba and the Ravid, now they say, no, Teshu Kein Taduru. It's the same halacha. Right? Don't tell me, oh, there's two separate mitzvahs of sukkah. No, it's all one. There's a mitzvah of Vasukot Teshvu Shavat Yamin. That manifests itself in two ways. Number one, according to the Chum, number one, on the first night there's a unique obligation, chobah, under all circumstances, not rain, I mean under all circumstances, meaning even if you are otherwise not intending to eat, there's a special din, you have to eat a kezayis hatas in the sukkah. And number two, there's a general halacha that all throughout Sukkot, you have to live in the sukkah, it has to be your home. And that means you have to sleep in it. Whenever you're going to have a certain kind of amount of food, you have to eat in it. And you know what? You should schmooze in the sukkah, you should learn in the sukkah, you should be metayil in the sukkah, you should have parties there, you know. If you have a party in your home, you should have your party in your sukkah, an appropriate party, etc., etc. We talked about Lashon Hara, saying Lashon Hara in the sukkah. But all the things that a person does over the course of a regular day, you do those in the sukkah. Right? It's not a separate din. That's nafkamina number one. Halacha lemaisa, this is very, very important. The Mishnah Brura cites, I gave it to you, again, we're a little late, but I'm not gonna read it inside. Mishnah Brura, I gave that to you in source 15, where the Mishnah Brura says that he refers to this issue. By the way, sorry, it's already in the Shulchan Aruch, I should say. Right, released in the Ramah. The Ramah quotes the Tur Ran in the Rush and says that you have to eat a kazai, at least a kazayis in the sukkah, even if it's raining. Right, and that's in Tafresh Lamites Hay. That's in source 12. Take a look at toward the bottom of source 12, last four lines in the Ramah. He says v'chol zedafka b'shar yamin. The exemption of rain only applies during other times of the year, or other times of the yontif, rather. Olei right, shar yom olei shal sukkah. Of a laila harishona, first night tzarech lechol gezayis basukah, afim gishamim yordim, tur viran viharash.
The separate right? Din, the idea of the separate din.
Right, exactly. The kadesh basukah kadesh yomer zman, right? Al hasukah. Quoting the Truma Sadashim. And the Mishnah Brura says, right, that this is in source 16, I gave it to you, in Tafresh Lamites Sif Katan Lamed Hay, he refers to this issue, and he says that there are many Achronim who say that you should wait until midnight to see if the rain can stop, because it's not such a simple matter. Because many Rishonim hold like the other Shita, and they hold like the Rashba, they're concerned for the Rashba, etc. So they say, you can't just go in and have your kezayis, you're going to say at Leishev, it's not clear that you can do that, it's not clear that your Yotzei, your obligation, they say you should wait until Chatzos for it to stop raining. And then the Mishnah Brura says, other Achronim say, wait a second, says you think you're going to increase your Simchas Yom Tov by coming home from Shul and forcing your family to fast, and then you drag out your kids like, oh, it's stop! Stop!" You're like, you have like a, you know, a 6-year-old kid. You just like drag him out at 11:53, and you're like, "It's not raining! It's not raining!" I'm like, you know, and it's not even gonna be true. Like, it's gonna, you know, when you get out there, the downpour is gonna come back. Says that's gonna undermine Simchas Yom Tov. Says in the Chamini Simchas Yom Tov Yosem Yizeh. Shari Tshuva says that. Shabura just gave it to you because for convenience's sake. So he says, well, others say, and I think Chayadam says as well, you should wait an hour or two. It's sort of like the compromise because there's a tension. On the one hand, you want to be machbid for the Rishonim who say that really you have to wait until the stops raining to eat the sukkah, like the Sheet of Tosos as well, right? And on the other hand, you don't want to like completely ruin the night for your family, so you kind of, and that's where a lot of rabbis look at it and say, well, right, if you see it's going to rain, say like give it an hour or two, etc. And then at that point, you go move on with your life. So that's the...
The Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to eat. He says that what does he say about Kshamim on the first night?
The Mechaber or the Rama? You're saying the Mechaber. So he doesn't seem to distinguish in the Beis Yosef. I don't remember if he paskins. The Pashtus is, I didn't look at it specifically for this. It's a good question. I assume the Pashtus is if he leaves it out, then presumably he does not draw a distinction. He would hold like the Rashba. Right, and he would say that, no, that's basically, we assume that the same tour applies there as well. The Rambam also, by the way, if you look at the Rambam, it sounds like the same tour would apply. What they would be saying then is sit like this. Once there's an obligation to eat, again, it's one din. Right? I'm going to suggest later on that for the Rambam also, again, it's one din. But also that the point is that therefore the Ptur of Mitzar and Tishrukin to do it does apply. And the point is once you, the scenario, the circumstances are such that the sukkah is meant to be lived in as your home because the weather is permitting you to, etc. At that point, then you have a unique obligation. Okay, but Erev to Chumatzo, Zereshava, you have to eat your seudah in the sukkah specifically. But only under the circumstances in which the general parameters of the mitzvah of sukkah apply, such that you could have a chiyah. Under, this is how the Aruch HaShulchan says as well, under those circumstances, according to the Rashba, right, he says it for the Rashba, and for the Ravid, right, and we say for a similar idea for the Rambam as well, that it could, right, under those circumstances is a mitzvah, but not when Teshu came to do, it's not applicable, because that's the basic yisod.
It's a prerequisite.
Exactly. It sets the contours, the context for the mitzvah. Without that, there's nothing to talk about. Again, if you hold, like the Achronim will hold, that there's no Chaluk Shem Sukkah at all when it's raining, then you might say that's another basis for this Shita. But again, even without that, we can explain it the way that we did. Okay, so that's not Nafkamina number one. If you hold, right, is it an independent obligation as part of the same obligation? It's a cluster of Nafkamina. It's a basic Nafkamina. Does the Kula of Tishu Kintadu apply or does it not? Might be an outgrowth of the question of whether it's one mitzvah or it's two separate mitzvahs. The second Nafkamina that I wanted to touch on is the following. Say, if this is an extension of the other mitzvahs versus not, that might have a nafkamina as to whether this is limited to just achila or applies to other aspects of living in the sukkah. Is the halacha, pashas in the Gemara, is that there's a mitzvah achila, but there's nothing else that's unique the first night. And indeed, if I hold like the Rashba, etc., that it's really an independent din. So then, for sure, I would say it's the independent din is learned from matzah. It's a din of achila. Whereas if I hold that really this is an extension of the larger mitzvah of sukkah, maybe I would say it's not only applicable to eating, it's even applicable to what? To sleeping and other things. Right? In other words, for example, would you have to sleep in the sukkah also if it's pouring rain? Right? Or is that ridiculous, right? Do I have to, at least a shena sarai, maybe you should cup a snack. Right? Eat a kazayas of, you should eat a, right? That's what they say. Right? Eat a kazayas in the sukkah? So too, right? You have to chop a quote unquote kazayas of a nap, right? A mini nap in the sukkah,
second.
Right? Your 60 second, right? The one that we were practicing in cheer the other day. Very good. So, right? In other words, if, again, that might be an afkamina. If I hold that it's a totally separate halacha, presumably that wouldn't be the case. If I hold that it's really an extension of the larger mitzvah, then maybe you should suggest such a thing. So where does this come up? The Ritva in Source 9 actually quotes one of the Gedolei heard, he says, Vishim Gadol mi Gedolei Hador Asher B'Tzorfat, one of the great French Gedolei Hador. Okay? So he must have been, basically, he was already past the Avreich Alter stage in Yeshiva. Okay? He was even Shanabed at one point. Okay? So now he's Echad Migdolei Hador. He graduated. Okay? According to our scale. So... Right, so one of the Gedolei Hador, the French Gedolei Hador, the Ashkenazic, and the Ritva's Gedolei, the Ritva lived in Spain, he says that he heard, Shahayim Achayim, the Ritva heard that Shahayim Achayim Lishan Besukah Belayla Harishon Ashil Sukkas. Afilu Yardu Gashon, Lishin Esarai, Nihas. Right? They didn't let him. He said the rabbis or Chazal only let you leave if right leave the sukkah for sleep as well if it's the other nights. But the first night, that's part of the Gezeira Shava. The Rifa says this is crazy. And it talks in the Gemara about eating in the sukkah, but not about sleeping.
Yeah.
So that's what the Ritva says in response. So what's going on? The Pashup says we don't pass that you have to.
Where's the Rabbi?
What? Where's the Ritva disagree?
Where's the Ritva disagree?
Says the Ritva, v'ha lesa klal. Says that's just wild. That can't be. He says, how do I know? Because he says it only talks about achila, like Pesach. Whoever heard of such a thing, right? And he says, and the Mishnah said, the Mishnah just says, well, right, if it's raining, you don't have to sleep in the sukkah. Someone should have gotten up and said, you know, unless it's the first night. Like, no one ever thought to say that. The Mishnah says very clearly, you might have to eat in the sukkah on the first night. But no one thought to say, right, well, that sleeping exemption before, that was only nights 2 through 7, really? It's bizarre. Right, so that's the Ritva sake on this issue. But again, it might well be a nafkamina of our chakira. If it's an independent obligation, so then it makes a lot of sense distinguishing achila and other things. That might be the shita of the Ritva. Only, l'chora, it goes like this. Only if I hold that it's an extension would it make any sense to say shena, right? That shena is included in the mitzvah, right? Now, you might still say, it's like there's this large mitzvah, but like achila, this unique aspect of the larger mitzvah, to kind of establish it and launch it for the rest of the time, then maybe you could say, even though it's an extension of the mitzvah for all 7 days, it's unique to achila, and maybe that goes back to our discussion of which is primary, right? Is it eating? Is it sleeping? How do you sort of navigate between those two? But maybe you say something like Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam was the one who said that we make the bracha only on, of Leisha B'Sukkah only on eating. Why? That one's more keva. So the way we learn Rabbeinu Tam is not that Rabbeinu Tam is necessarily saying that achila is more important than shina, but rather that it's a more concrete halachic act. And therefore it's something that it's specific and tangible enough to make the bracha on it. And then, therefore it encompasses everything else, even though living means everything, right? It means eating and it means sleeping and it means lots of other things as well. So maybe it's a similar story here, that what we're saying is not that, right, achila is more essential, but rather that the point is, if you want to, in a tangible, concrete way, kind of launch the yontif with a mice, a quintessential maisa hamitzvah of sukkahs that starts it off and really establishes this as the holiday of sukkahs and the mitzvah of sukkah, so then that makes sense to do through achila, but not that it's necessarily more important per se than anything else, just more concrete.
So, yeah, is the question about maybe this whole chakira lies on you know, the transcription of the Tana. And he writes him, if he's writing achila as an example, if he's not writing it as an example. That's the same thing what we're saying, but yeah. Doesn't it sound far-fetched to say that he would just write achila as, you know, just he's pulling achila there, just achila, and not listing the other examples, because many times in the Mishnah we see that it says, you know,
Tana b'shi'er, is it exhaustive, is it not exhaustive? That's a question the Gemara often asks it before it's Mishnayos and says it lets things out. It's another way of saying
it. That's in Kiddushin earlier. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah, that could be one way of saying it here. Huh. Some I wouldn't say Tana b'shi'er exactly, but something. Something.
Why not? Why wouldn't you say Tana b'shi'er exactly?
Because Tana b'shi'er is usually when it's giving a list. It's not really a list.
Okay.
It's like enumerating a whole series of things, and it gives you 6.
Right. Okay.
You know, like, you know, it's ain bane, or it's giving you kind of like, it tells you, I'm now giving you an accounting of some sort. This is a din.
Not examples, but like the actual dinim.
Right. That's a larger question about the exhaustive nature of this. You know, is it exhaustive? Is it just an example? Is it just representative? Okay. The third nafkamina is, we're not going to have time to read it inside, unfortunately, but it's really one of the most surprising parts of the sugya. And the third nafkamina I want to say is, to what extent do we import to the first night of Sukkot all the dinim and details of the mitzvah of achilas matzah? Right? Meaning, if I hold it's just a prat in the kiyam hamitzvah of Sukkot, so then maybe the way I read the Gzera Shava is a softer form of the Gezeira Shava. And what we're saying is really just, this is the Torah's way of saying that just deriving something really that's internal to Sukkot, not really about taking matzah and applying it here. Really what we're saying is, again, kind of what we were saying earlier, that there are two aspects to the larger mitzvah of living in a sukkah. There's a unique din on the first line, and then there's the rest of the yantif, right? But if I hold that really it's a new din, it's a separate halacha, then I don't necessarily have to say, but I might start saying the new din is really flavored by matzah. The another chakira is, when you have a gzera shava, is it just learning a halacha, or is it transforming the nature of the area through which we're deriving? Okay? It's a festival, right? Tell Michael. Okay? Chakira is right after Wazi today. Okay? We even said Svi dinim. We said there are two dinim, right? To Tosfos. Okay. Got all the brisker lingo in today. Alright, so to what extent, so that's another chakira you ask, is gzera shava just eating local halacha about sukkah, but really just clarifying something about sukkah, or really no, it's like the source becomes, modifies the halacha, becomes almost the halacha, right? So the nafkamina to that, I think that A is arguably contingent on the larger chakira that we asked. If you hold an independent mitzvah, right, that's separate from the mitzvah sukkahs, so then other mitzvahs, then maybe you have more room to say that it's really sort of quasi, not a ches matzah, but it's sort of more closely tied to that mitzvah. Right, but also, right, it opens up this whole series of fascinating issues among the Rishonim. So Rishonim Ashkenaz, in particular, had a field day. The German Ashkenazim, in particular. They said all sorts of really fascinating halachos. So for example, the Hagos of Shri in Source 10 says that you have to eat a kezias. The share of kezias, A, comes from, right, comes from matzah. And B, he also says it has to be vadai laila. You can't eat too early. And many Achronim say, well, the reason he says that you can't eat too early is because you have to wait for tzeis, arguably, there's a sugi about this, when it comes to the Seder. Specifically by the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, maybe the other mitzvah Salaiva, right? And that's quoted in the name of the smak, of Yaakov of Kurvil, Sefer Mitzvah Skata.
So they would hold, right? So you'd hold that it's like modifying.
Right, in other words, and that, right, that the Gezer Shav is a strong one, and start learning halachos. Right, there are others, the Ramah quotes in Source 11, Tafresh Lama Teskimel, he says, it has to be Vaday Lailai, quotes that halacha, he says, you have to finish before Chatzos, right, you know about this, yeah, you finish before Chatzos, that's amazing. Finish before Chatzos, that's like, right, just like the Seder, there are many holy, you have to finish by Chatzos, right, many Rosh have the Afikomen, by Chatzos, part of that is whether Afikomen is part of the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, right, which is a big discussion, right, but that also comes from the Seder, and that comes physically from Matzah. He says, this is the, right, the doozy, he says, well, the third halach of the Ramah, lo yachal b'yom chatzos ve'ilach, so you have eat the te'avon, right, he says, like, you know, like, just like Erev Yontif, right, that whole thing, and you can't eat, he said, well, you have to eat the te'avon, right, so some say, well, you have to, that's why you can't nap, I mentioned this last time. Some say, according to the Shita and the Ritva, the Chachmei Tzarfat, just like according to this halach on the Ramah, you can't, you don't want to eat on Erev Sukkos, so you don't want to get a nap on Erev Sukkos, right? In order to, right, so you can sleep the day of, I mean, this is like, what does that even mean? That's really shocking. Lior said last time, no, just the opposite, right? You sleep on Erev Pesach so that you can stay up all night and say that, right? So you also may say you just have to sleep on Erev Sukkos. Okay. That was just in jest. But, right, it's like a whole series, just to be clear.
Depends on the exertion.
Okay, that's exactly, this is a series of nafkaminos for that question. The Magen Avraham in Source 13, he says, he quotes halacha of Shetechshach as well. He includes that the pre-Megadim, that's the commentary on the Magen Avraham and on the Taz, right, he's a super commentary. Right? What does it mean to be a super commentary? To be
like
awesome.
A commentary on a commentary.
Right. So the commentaries on Rashi al-Torah, the Mizrahi, is a super commentary. Right? The Gur Aryeh, commentary on Rashi, which is itself is a commentary. Right? It's a super commentary. So the Prima Gadim is a super commentary as well. Right? Because the Magen Avraham and the Taz themselves are commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Prima Gadim says that you can't have bread that was kneaded with non-water, with like fruit juice. Why? Because matzah, you're not yotze, right? It's matzah ashira, right? You can't be yotze with matzah ashira on the night of the Seder. I mean, this is like unbelievable. So she's on the chorn, we should eat matzah. It's like, I mean, like, this is like, it's like, you didn't see this coming when you learned the sugya. All right? But all of these shitos are fascinating in the way in which the extent of the connection. And if we're giving a different shir, we would argue that this establishes, it's not just part of the lamdas of sukkah, it's part of the lamdas of how you see the relationship between the holiday of sukkahs and the holiday of Pesach. and that this is establishing a deep connection between them. There are all sorts of ways to take that. You got to have a whole machshava share about why are they deeply connected? What themes are they reinforcing? And how do they... There's poles of the year also. It's the same time of year, right? It's the same season, but parallel as it were, right around the time of the equinox, right? Tesvav in the middle, equal, right? In the middle of the month, right? It's moderate times of the season, of the year. Fascinating. And there are a lot of things to say about this for another time. Of course, again, however, if I hold that it's just a local halacha by sukkah, I'm going to tend to downplay these halachos. And no, they don't appear in the Gemara. As we'll see, they don't appear in the Rambam, right? They don't appear in the Mechaber. There are Rishoni Ashkenaz halachos over here, primarily. This also quotes them, but notably the Mechaber doesn't paskin like them. Like, in other words, these are really cool shitos, but they're big, major chidushim. They're not obvious in the sugya. And again, is it possible that part of the machlokas here is exactly this issue? The Chachmei Ashkenaz are holding this a separate halacha entirely. So, like the Rosh and the Ran, you have to say it could be the same shita, right? Part of the same kind of general approach, right? L'shita sahi, right? According to shita. If you hold, again, it's a separate mitzvah, so then you're going to say that Teshu Kinta Duri doesn't apply. You take the Gezer Shavah very seriously, and you start saying, all the halachos in the night of the Seder are going to be imported here as well. It's a strong Gezer Shavah. Whereas if you hold the Rashba, right? Note, Chacham, right? One of the Chachmei Svarad, right? Is going to disagree and say that no, that it's really, in essence, is, right? It doesn't work perfectly. Tosa is complicated, but you could line up and generally say, and the Rambam as well would seem to say that Tishu Kinta Duru does apply the exemption on the first night. And you don't have to eat or sleep, right? Not even eat when it's raining outside. And Lishitasam, it's really the same halacha, and therefore it's a weaker Gzeira Shava, and therefore all these halachas from matzahs don't get exported. All we're really doing is establishing an intrinsic halacha with regard to sukkah that's established on the basic Gzeira Shava, but it's not like really we're taking the din of matzah and just kind of like injecting it into sukkahs. Really, right? We're going to push back on all of those halachas. So it might be all Lishitasam. What I want to suggest in closing is as follows, and this is going to tie together a lot of the themes of the mitzvah of Yeshiva V'sukkah and the Mishnah and the Rambam. I tend, my sympathies lie, not that anyone asked me, or I'm really entitled to an opinion. I mean, you're showing me disagreed about this issue. But if you were to ask me which opinion I thought A was kind of shed the most light on the mitzvah of sukkah generally, and I think has something very profound to say about the larger mitzvah of sukkah, and set aside for a moment at least the comparisons between Pesach and Sukkot, I think it's really the shita that sees it as part of the mitzvah, but in a very particular kind of way. I want to explain that through the Rambam and then bring home this final idea. Take a look at the Rambam. We haven't done too much work in the Rambam in general the last couple of days. I figured it was a good thing to do so. So the Rambam in Halachos Hei through Zayin of the sixth chapter of Hilchos Shofar V'Sukkah V'Lulav, where he brings all those mitzvahs together, he says as follows. He says, Kitzad hi mitzvah se yeshiva v'sukkah. What's the nature of the mitzvah? So he says it's a 7-day mitzvah. She ochel v'shosav v'dar b'sukkah kol shiva sayam b'im b'yom b'yom laila. Tishu kin tadiru, right? It's a positive obligation, right? And you have to live in the sukkah, right? So you make all 7 days. He said you make your house arai and your sukkah kava. V'sukkah tishu shivas yamim. What do? It's not just eating and drinking. It's not just sleeping, but you bring everything from your home into the sukkah. You make it into just like your home. Kelim hana'im matzot hana'o. You bring out your vessel, right? You bring out your dishes, your fine china, right? And you bring out your sheets and all that kind of stuff. If it's too ugly, if it's yichi, just like you wouldn't serve that in the middle of your home, so if you don't put it in the middle of your sukkah, right, all of those halachos. And then he says, and there are certain things that are not just things in general you have to do, but strict obligations. Halacha vav, ochel mishosin vishin b'sukkah kol shiva b'im b'yom b'im b'layla. The general obligation, you're eating and drinking and sleeping in the sukkah. And then he says, By achila, we distinguish in achilas kevan achilas arai, bashina, everything has to be in the sukkah, right? And he gives you those halachos. And he adds to that, but if you want to eat anything or drink anything in the sukkah, he says that's a good thing to do. Not obligated, but it's mitzvah. Umishiyachmir al atzmo velo yishte chutz l'sukkah, even not drink outside the sukkah, afilu mayim, even water, ha'reiz em eshubach. That's a good thing to do. By the way, that's reminiscent of the night of the Seder. Kol hamarbe, right? Harezeh Meshubach, right? The story of the Tanoim, who stayed up all night long. Harezeh Meshubach, right? Very, very interesting kind of parallel. And the parallels don't stop there. Halacha Zayin, Achila B'Leila Yom Tafarishon Basukah Chova. Right, yeah, that this halacha, right, of the Chachamim. Afilo acha kezayis pas yatsa yedei chovasa. Right, that's sufficient. Right, by the way, everything else, all yontif long, right? Kibetzav pas. Only kibetzav pas is mechayiv yidi in the sukkah. But the first night, kizayis. It's not just the Rambam who says this. It's generally assumed. Remember, that's important for our discussion as well. Mikan ve'elach rishus. Right? Mikan ve'elach rishus, which sounds just like the Gemara said about what? Not just sukkah, but about what? What did our Gemara, to bring our shir today full circle? What's the chiyuv on the first night? But mikan ve'elach rishus, right? Not just sukkah, but also what it's learned from the chachamim, namely matzah, right? Maybe we said matzah is ba'er techu matzah, so the first night is obligatory, but the rest of the yantif is a rishus. Ratzah lechol sudas soi b'sukkah, ratzah ino ochel kol shiva, el peres ochel yus chutzak sukkah, right? Ochel, right? How do I know? Or what's the basis for the comparison? Kedin achilas matzah be'pesach. Kedin achilas matzah be'pesach. So the Rambam seems to be saying a couple of different things here. It's a little bit confusing. On the one hand, he likes the comparison to matzah. Obviously, the Gemara gives you the comparison to matzah. He quotes it here, and the implicit, at least if not comparison, parallel, harizim ashubach, the more the merrier, it's a good thing to do, right? With regard to sports yesterday, which is interesting as well. And yet at the same time, the Rambam formulates this as part of his introduction to the larger obligation. Whereas the Rambam is saying, there's a mitzvah of yeshiva besukkah that manifests itself in the following ways. In general, make this your home. That's kind of the broadest statement. Then there's specific activities that are obligatory in the sukkah. You must sleep in the sukkah. If you have an achilas sudas kevan, achilas keva, you must eat that in the sukkah. Number two. Number three, says the Rambam, but anything that you eat in the sukkah, the more the merrier. Right? Achila or shtia, even mayim, inside the sukkah, harem is a meshuvach. Halacha number three. Halacha number four, in other words, he's narrowing the degree of specificity. So just generally, you should move in. There are specific actions, and there are specific actions that are chova, and specific actions that are reshus. And then he says, and there's one night, right, where all bets are off, and there's a basic chiyav to eat in the sukkah. Presumably, Tishri King Dura would apply here just like anything else, right, like the Rashba. Right, against the Chachmi Ashkenaz. Right, but that's the Rambam seems to be saying, and here he introduces the parallel to Pesach, presumably based on the Gemara. Right, Tesva, Kidin Achilas Matzah Pesach, even using the same language of Mikan Ve'ilach Rishus. What's going on in the Rambam? How does he understand this? So I think that the Pshat in the Rambam is that he sees it that right, not as just a separate halacha entirely that's disconnected from the larger mitzvah of Achilas Sukkah. Rather, for the Rambam, it's an integral part of the larger mitzvah. And the point for the Rambam is that these are all different different aspects or elements of this obligation. The mitzvah of sukkah, as we have suggested, is A, to make the sukkah your home throughout the holiday of Sukkot. And B, the mitzvah is to, as we've suggested, transform the holiday from just a holiday on which we sit in the sukkah to a holiday where the sukkah is all-encompassing. It becomes the central activity. It becomes kind of the pivot, right, around which the axis around which the entire holiday revolves. How do you get there? How do you accomplish that? The Rambam says, well, with concentric circles, right? There's like a general notion, make it your home. Leave your house, make it, that's now the Dira Sarai, and your Dira Sarai is your sukkah. Number two, specific actions that must take place in the sukkah. Number three, the first night, the launch of the mitzvah is, right, at the very beginning. Just like what? Just like matzah. Says the Rambam, implicitly, the same yesod applies to Chag HaMatzos. That's the comparison. It's not stam a tesvav gezeira shava. And it's not necessarily, says the Rambam, to teach us that all this specific halachos, leteavon, chatzos, mishech hashecha, meperos, like all the details that are to some extent particular to the Leil HaSeder, that all of those necessarily apply to sukkah. And the Rambam doesn't have any of those. The yesod that we learn from matzah is if you want to transform the nature of a holiday, if you do it in madrigos, and you launch your holiday with the central mitzvah, that's how you begin. Yom Teruah, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, so it's not a 7-day holiday, and it's the yom, it's the daytime, so you change the day by making it a day of Teruah. But what do you do in these 7-day holidays? What do you do? How do you transform the nature of the holiday? This is the Rambam. You do all these things. Chag HaMatzos, Bo'erev Tochu Matzos, Mikan Ve'elach Rishus. I would posit, the Rambam's not explicit, but I would suggest that the Rambam implies, although it's not clear in Hilchos Chametz Matzah, but this Rambam may well imply that there's a kiyum like the Gra, might be a remnant to the Gran, Cheskuni, that there's a Kim called Shiva. I think it's Pashup Shab Chumash. So like, I think it's just basic. It's just there. But I think he's Ramis this idea. I think what he's saying is it's really the same Yesod. That Matzah is the central symbol of Pesach. And therefore, there's a Chiyuv to launch, right, to start with it. By the way, I hold Sfiras Omer as a similar thing. Every day is defined, is modified as a day of Sfira. Maybe it's a day of Hachana for Matan Torah, or whatever it might be. And that's why you have to do it as early as possible. That's why there's a notion of counting Sfira right before, during the night, not during the day. That's why many say that Tmimos means you count as early at night as possible, because you're trying to transform the day. The earlier you get it in, the more powerful the impact of the Sfira. The earlier you sit in the Sukkah, if you wait until day four to establish the nature of the Yontif, it's just not the same thing. But if it's your launch, if it's your opening statement, right? Everyone knows, you only get one chance to make a first impression. Right? It's the first, right? And it's true in life, and it's true when it comes to, right, when it comes to how we think about the Yom Tov. So I think that's the pshat of the Rambam, and I think that's the connection to the Lel HaSeder or to Pesach in general. And that's Pshat also in Koham Arba Harei Ezeh Meshubach. If you want to change the nature of something, you can fulfill your bare basic requirement. You check off your halachic boxes. But every single time you do this, you deepen the nature of the mitzvah. That's, by the way, why the more tzkios you blow, the more kiyumei mitzvah you get. No one ever said, well, why do you blow 100 times? According to the Torah, you only have to blow 9 or maybe 30 at most. You don't have to buy 100 to blow 100 tzkios. That's just a minhag, what we do. It's an amandor minhag. We accepted it, but it's just a minhag. So, like, why do we do it? But the answer is, Rishonim says, Mam Or says this, other Rishonim says, no, because every time you do it, it's an additional deepening of the theme of Yom Teruah, of the what the Yontif is all about. Every time you eat more matzah in the Lel HaSeder throughout Pesach, you're deepening this as a chankah matzah. So you're making it that yontav, the same as juice as the Rambam around the holiday of Sukkah. So I think that's the pshat, and I think that pulls together everything that we've learned. That's Tishvu Kein Taduru. That's the mitzvah of Yeshiva B'Sukkah. That's this idea also, like it all comes back to this idea also we quoted earlier, but it's got to be comfortable. It says Rach Ra'anan. It's kind of like we're all getting back to this idea that the Torah wanted us to transform the nature of this holiday into one in which we remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for Klal Yisrael. We sit in the Sukkah and we front load it and we establish and launch it in that way, just like we do on Pesach, just like we do on Rosh Hashanah, so too on Sukkot. So I know we're not so close to Sukkot, but I want to wish everyone that this upcoming Yom Noraim and Yontif season, it should be like this. It shouldn't just be that we check off our boxes. It should change the Yontif and it should change our own experience of the holiday. That when we hear the Tzkios, it changes our Rosh Hashanah. When we sit in the Sukkah and we really make it into our home, we do this out in the Sukkah. We're going to learn in the Sukkah. We live in our Sukkah. We're having in mind our families and, you know, or if we're, if we're visiting, whatever, we're respectful, etc. But like, to the extent that we can, we make that into our home, and really should change not just the Yontif, but should change us. That's, I think, our bracha. Baviv, mitalmida yoser mikuam. The best way to end this year is with a question from the Talmud. Yeah.
Thanks.
Sure. Okay. Okay, we're done. Sure. Yeah.
just to clarify, the Rambam would probably say that now, if it's an extension of the other mitzvot, Achila, so in terms of Shena, would that also apply in terms of
Shena? Good question. Yeah, the Rambam does not say that, and I think it's a good question.
It sounds like a little bit of a stretch. That's why we're scared to say it, but
yeah,
based on principle, it'd probably be like,
I hear that. Yeah, I mean, does he have to fall back on something like Rabbi Mutam? Right, like that kind of thing.
Okay, like you mentioned earlier.
Or, right, exactly. Or would he just say that sort of, maybe the Rambam would kind of, you know, bite that bullet. And the Rambam would say that Achila is the quintessential marker of a home. Achila's Kevah, I mean. Right, meaning Shena is the basic function of living somewhere. And any Shena. So therefore you have to, right, whichever reason the Gemara that you, the Mar gave, said you have to sleep in the Sukkah. Fine. But maybe Achilas Keva that Ram holds is like the most fundamental marker of what it means to have a home. And therefore that's how we launch
the
holiday.
The first thing we said, or right? The second shiur we had.
Right, that's a possibility. And maybe that approach would work a little better in the Rambam that I pulled together. There's a question, for example, that comes up in other areas of halacha. Where do you light candles? You guys light Yeshiva or you light, or you're a lot of families? Hanukkah and Shabbos, both. Do you light, first, do you guys light?
I don't light Shabbos personally.
What? You don't light Shabbos candles. Yeah. But Vadi Paskin, then you rely on your family.
Very, very.
Common.
I've heard that.
You don't either. Okay. There are different, you know, many don't, but some do. So anyhow, but certainly like your own, you don't rely on your family's shurchanic candles.
No, really do. I think there's also an Indian of that of relying.
It's such a shita. There's room to distinguish between the two.
Yeah. Depends if you're okay.
Fine. So let's assume you're lighting on your own. Where do you light? Meaning, do you light by your dorm? You might think so. That's what we usually do by Hanukkah candles, but it's not so simple. And especially by Shabbos candles, it's not so simple. In fact, when people go away for Shabbos, very often, where do they light? Like at Smachot. They put it out by the dining room. People go out, where do they light? I'm going to sleep somewhere else. But if I'm eating somewhere, maybe that's the primary place. A big dispute among the Achronim, what is Koveya? Is it the place where you're sleeping, or is it the place where you're eating? And if you're splitting the two up, which one do we follow? So it could be that goes to this issue. I don't know if the Rambam explicitly weighs in on that issue in those other contexts, but those are other examples where we see this question of what's the Iker Kaveh. So in other words, we conclude with yet another Chakira. What's the Iker Kaveh? You can even say in Lamda Shalinga. The Iker Kaveh of the Makam Dira. Is it a din in the Shena? Or is it din in the Makam Shena? Or is it din in the Makam Shena? Okay. Yet another Chakira to take home.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, sure. It was a pleasure learning, and it was a lot of fun to be reconnected with you, Hebron.
Likewise.
Sorry, I can't make it to the great food that you've earned. Get ahead home soon, but enjoy and take good pictures. Send them around. All right. Shkoyach. Shkoyach.